Oh, to be like thee. When we start thinking about singing a song like that, we ought to be thinking about wanting to be like God. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and we're talking about being like our precious Redeemer. We ought to want to be like Him. But Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so tonight, for just a few minutes, I'd like for us to think about what Paul had to say to the Ephesians that could help us think about growing to be like God. I think that our world has always needed the message that Paul gave. Needed the message this morning. We need the message that he is sharing with us from Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 32. There have been a lot of people that I wanted to be like growing up. I remember when I was in elementary school, the very first person I ever saw shoot a jump shot. I'm so old, people were still shooting a one-handed push shot and kept 1 foot on the floor most of the time. And I remember seeing the first person that was a high school student while I was in elementary school shooting a jump shot. I wanted to be like that guy. I saw lots of good athletes growing up, and that's been a major part of my life. And I saw people that I wanted to be like. And if I were playing against a particularly good athlete and they beat me in some way, I wanted to learn the moves that they made that beat me, whether it was baseball or football or basketball. I wanted to be like them. Who is it tonight that you really want to be like? We talk about, we sing about, oh, to be like God. That's what we've just sung. Is that who you really want to be like? And is that what you are thinking about daily as you plan your life, as you develop your character, as you think about all the things that are going on around you and things you have to face? Do you think about wanting to be like God and facing life as God would face it? When we begin to read the New Testament especially, and we have Jesus Christ living in the form of human flesh, and Him telling us that when we see Him make decisions and live the way He chose to live in this world, that's exactly what He says the Father would be like. Because if you've seen me, you would have seen the Father. When I begin to think about our needs, we have a great need to grow, every one of us. We all need to grow up some more. I've been told several times in life, you just need to grow up. And every time I've been told that, they were right. I needed to grow up. They were talking about some specific ways in which I needed to grow up then, but as I continue to look back and look at myself now, there are many ways in which I still need to grow up. It is frustrating to be my stage in life and still trip over the same things that I've tripped over just about all of my life. It is hard to grow, but there's always been a need to grow. Remember when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in that very important and famous John chapter 3, where we read the most important, or at least the most often quoted verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." In that passage, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus teaches him about the need to grow. We have some beautiful babies sitting right here very close to me. And we want those little babies to continue to grow and eventually to look like this over here. Now, we kind of wish that somewhere along the way we could stop that process, because if they keep growing, they're going to look like some of you. And when some of you keep growing a little older, you're going to look like me. And we'd like to stop some of that, wouldn't we? But all of us need to grow. We're thankful for these children and how they've grown. And we're thankful for these young folks and how they've grown. And we look at ourselves and we wish we could stop growing physically, but we want to keep growing spiritually. And so Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. When we begin to be sons of God because of our choice of believing and loving and obeying Jesus the Christ, we can begin to grow in special ways spiritually, because you see, now we're connected in a special way to the Lord. We can become like Him. When Nicodemus was told that, he didn't understand it. We have a look back and we generally understand that a little better than Nicodemus did at the moment. But when we start thinking about growing, we need to be listening to a lot of the message of the Bible and keep on working to put that into practice in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul told the Corinthian brothers and sisters, "You be imitators of me as I am of Christ Jesus." We need to keep growing. You imitate and you learn from me, but only as I imitate and learn from Jesus the Christ. And so Paul was thinking himself about growing to be like God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we learn that we are born not of corruptible seed like silver and gold, but we are born of that incorruptible seed, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. When we begin to use the opportunities that we have to grow, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says that we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. The King James Version says, "grow thereby unto salvation." That's our goal, isn't it? To live in this world in order to be with God forever. What a wonderful thing that would be. In chapter 4, I want us to share verses 11 through 13 as we think about what Paul was trying to accomplish. He's talking in this instance, if I understand it, about the early church and their need for spiritual help and the gifts that God would give to them. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we start thinking about that message, those folks needed to grow. They needed more of the Word of God. They needed the Word of God put in a great form like we have. And that time was going to come. It wasn't there then. And so they needed the miraculous gifts to help them to be able to grow in an appropriate way. When we begin to think about our day and time, we don't have the possibility of those miraculous gifts in the way that those first century people did. So, what does it look like if we want to grow to be like God? What's it going to look like in your life? Well, obviously, in the 45 minutes the elders have given me tonight for this sermon, I'm not going to be able to tell you very many things that would be in this particular category. But I want to share some of the things that Paul mentions here in Ephesians chapter 4 that would let you know what's going to happen in your life today and the rest of your life every day if you want to grow to be more like God. First of all, I'm suggesting that Paul teaches us that there is going to be a calm steadfastness. We live in an uptight, anxious world. When I talk with some folks whose lives are falling apart because relationships are falling apart, they are so uptight, they're hurting so badly, and they need some calm in their lives. You and I, sometimes, as we look around the spiritual world, we need to keep reminding ourselves that the church is not going to go away. That even if people turn away from God that you love, they turn away from the church is not going to go away. We remember passages like Daniel 2 and verse 44, when Daniel prophesied, "In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." We are going to have the opportunity to be faithful to the church, to be faithful to God in His kingdom as His children from now until we leave this world, because God's kingdom is not going to be destroyed. Our government may lead us farther and farther away from God. They may lead us farther and farther away from the Bible. People all around us may begin to worship in ways that they want to instead of how God instructs us to worship. There may be all kinds of things that go on in life around you. But God has established a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And what we want to do is to take that idea and to use it to help ourselves with a calm steadfastness. Look at verse 14. We see people in our culture who are changing their ways of thinking consistently in our culture. There are people that want an instrumental service in the church today. They want a conservative, traditional service. They want something in between. There are people that hate those songs, Clay, that only are on the screen. There are people in the audience that get so frustrated when we take out a book every time. There are people that are frustrated with a 10-minute sermonette, as they call it. And if you preach past 25 minutes, there are some people that are ready to throw in the towel and walk out. We want change all the time, don't we? We are a people who want change. But if you are going to grow to be like God, first suggestion I believe Paul makes is you will be steadfast, consistent, firm in doctrine. That's the teaching that we undertake. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, when you went out to see John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a man dressed in a nice three-piece dark suit? Is that what you went out to see? Did you see somebody? Did you go out to see somebody that ate all the best food? What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? Jesus is asking, did you go out to hear someone preach and teach who, if the wind is blowing this way, that's the way their sermon would go, but if the wind started blowing this way, that's the way their sermon would go? You didn't see that in John the Baptist, and Jesus was praising and applauding John the Baptist because he had a calm steadfastness about him with regard to doctrine. And Paul is saying that we must grow up to be people who learn and know and understand the best we can the teaching of God in His Word, and we must stand by it no matter what. So we want to be steadfast in doctrine. You don't have to be uptight and anxious about what is going on around you. Stick to what the teaching of God is. Secondly, in terms of a calm steadfastness, Paul mentions in verse 15 that steadfastness in development. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, and that is to Christ. So we want to grow up in all things. And we do that by being steadfast in that doctrine, in that teaching, but speaking it in a loving way, a way that people can take. Now, all of us know that you cannot feed spiritual food to some people. They will not take it, no matter how you dress it up, no matter how loving you are, no matter how kind you are. But that doesn't give us a right to be ugly. And we must be people who speak the truth in love. And we must be steadfast in growing ourselves so we can speak the truth in love and we can help other people grow as well. But then thirdly, look at the expression in verse 16. I believe Paul is telling us that we need this calm steadfastness in devotion to God. He says, in Christ, that's where we want to grow up in all things to, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everybody is to be devoted. There's not one child of God in this room, from these young folks over here to the oldest person in the room. And if I'm thinking clearly, the oldest person in this room is at least 90 years young. There's not any excuse for any one of us to be lazy, to not do our part. We each one must be devoted to doing whatever it is that we can do to edify, to build up the body of Christ, and every one of us accountable before God can do something. And so we want a calm steadfastness. But a second thing that Paul mentions here is that we need a clear separation. We need to be separated from the works of darkness. Look at verses 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. We do not want to walk as blind people spiritually. There are some people who have a hard time seeing, and there are some people who are totally blind. And when we see those people, we who have the ability to see, we need to understand a little bit how difficult life can be for them. Think how difficult life is for people who refuse to see God, who refuse to see the light of God's Word. We must not walk in spiritual blindness. We want to separate ourselves from the darkness. The Word of God is what we need. The Word of God is the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. When you are struggling and you're having trouble deciding what to do, where to go, and how to do, get out the Word of God and shed some light in your life and on what you are thinking and how you are thinking. Let God speak to you through His Word and tell us how we need to live so that we can separate clearly from the darkness that is present when God's Word is not in our lives. There's darkness, and then there's the way we live. You cannot get out of this world, in one sense of the word, without dying. So as long as we live, we're going to be in the world. We are to be in the world, but not of the world, the Lord says. And so what we need is a walk, a lifestyle that separates from darkness and does not practice the works of darkness. When you turn to chapter 4 and verse 22, you need to be rather put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We don't walk in darkness. Every one of us takes a step toward darkness each time we sin. Every one of us. And we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. The problem is not so much us taking that step toward darkness with a sin. The problem comes when we develop a lifestyle of sin and we walk in God's Word. Or rather, walk apart from God's Word. We need that walk of darkness that puts off those things that we do not need and puts on those things that help us live according to God's true righteousness, God's true holiness. And so we need a calm steadfastness, we need a clear separation, and then we need Christ-like standards, first of all, in how we act. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has in a need." When we begin thinking about our behavior, we want to be Christ-like in our behavior. Paul has this suggestion. Stealing is not going to get it done in a Christ-like standard. You're going to be walking in darkness. If you're consistently taking things that do not belong to you in any way, in one way or another, you are not going to be walking like Christ walks. But when you begin to think about working hard, working with your own hands so that you may build a bigger house, buy a better car, take longer, greater trips. Is that what Paul is saying? Paul is saying you work hard so that you can help people who have great needs. In America, if we aren't careful, our thinking as we look at poor people is we'll want to put them down and we want to say if they'd work like I do, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in. Or if they would take advantage of opportunities the way I did and the way I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, they would not be where they are. But you and I need to be listening to the Lord. There are a lot of people in need. Some of them are in need because they are lazy. And none of us like that, do we? But some of those people that are in great need are not there because they are lazy. Life circumstances have not been good to them. And we need to be on the lookout to help people that have those kinds of needs. We need to think then to have Christ-like standards in the way that we act. Secondly, we need to have Christ-like standards in the way that we react. In verse 27, we see, verse 26, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When we begin to think in terms of how we react to other people, it's easy for us to take offense when people hurt us. And we react in the way of darkness instead of the way in which Christ would react. Is God telling us to never be angry? No. God is telling us to be angry in such a way that sin doesn't enter into our lives and we do not give a foothold to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. If you know someone who is in consistent anger over life and the way life happens, you're going to see a person who's opened their heart and their life to the devil. They've given place to the devil. They will not respond in a proper way. But God isn't saying don't ever be angry. There are some things over which we all ought to be angry and hurt. God's wrath and God's anger is against all sin and all unrighteousness. And as we think about God giving us the opportunity to grow to be like Him, we need to think how we react in life. I think all the time about families that are falling apart. If those family members would think first of all, about how they act. And then they would think about how they react. Life could be so much better. It could be so much different. Because then I think they would begin to think more about how they interact. Verse 25 says, put away lying. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. When we start thinking about that, if we could just be open and honest with people that we love and that we care for, and very often that's our family members, if we could be open and honest with people at work, in our social lives, what a different life it would be for many, many people. Verse 29 and 30 are so very powerful if we would listen to them. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We need to be people who stop that corrupt communication. Don't let it out. Don't let it out. When we begin to think about how we interact with each other, we are going to be people who live in a relationship, interacting with one another in a far, far greater way. When we begin to think about verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When God sees how we act, how we react, how we interact, He can be so pleased because of the goodness, because of the light of His Word that is used in our lives every day. But He can also be very disappointed and grieved in heart as He sees the way that we live. We need a calm steadfastness. We need a clear separation. And we need Christ-like standards. How does that work? How does that happen? I want to just share with you one passage. There would be many in this regard. But here is one passage that could help us focus as we think about our invitation song tonight, encouraging people to think more about growing to be like God. If you need to be baptized into Christ, or if you need to come home as a child of God, we want all of us to grow to be more like Christ. James 1 and verse 21 says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul." That's God's goal. God's goal is for every one of us to be like Him, so that every one of us could live with Him. And so this evening, as we stand and as we sing this song that Clay has selected, come to the front if you need to grow to be more like God, and a public response in your judgment is necessary. Please stand and let's sing.